Welcome to the King's Chapel Alaska podcast. From wherever you are listening, we are so excited that you tuned in today. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word.
Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Let's read God's word and get into it. This is a passage I've preached from numerous times. And I'm not against preaching messages that I've preached before. I do that as the Lord leads me. I had a message. You can be seated. We'll get it to you in a second. Thank you. So I don't know if you're aware of the fact that while you were sleeping last night, the coronavirus reported cases in China increased by 30%. You are aware of that. So 30%, those are the ones that are reported. You have cruise ships with Japanese tourists on there trapped. You have it's pretty intense. Speaking to a friend of mine who was talking to a man from Taiwan who's in the know, he said the thing's engineered. And that by the time you come up with symptoms, you know, it's too late or whatever. I don't know if that's the case. And I know there's fear mongers out there. And I only have one fear, and that's the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to yield to some panic, you know, some pandemic panic or whatever, because I'm going to dwell in the shadow of the Most High. I have Psalm 91. Come on, how many of you know Psalm 91? It's printed on more mugs and put on more refrigerators around the nation, around the world. And it's a wonderful psalm that you can speak over yourself. I remember I was with the praying grandmothers, and I heard them quoting that, Mama Joyce and others, just declaring Psalm 91. I think committed it to memory, and it's a good psalm to commit to memory. Psalm 119 says, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I really truly believe the only word that you know is that which you've memorized. I mean, it's great that you can get out your Bible promise book and flip to a promise that you need. Praise God when you have time. But sometimes you can't see the forest from the trees. Sometimes you're in the midnight hour, and it's just like, you know, it seems like it's all caving around you. You have to have the word in you. Come on, you have to have the word in you. So Psalm 91 is a powerful psalm of God's protection and God's provision. It's a promise, Psalm 91, filled with promises that comes to those who make the Lord God the apple of their eye, if I could say it, the object of their affection. Those who love God get those promises. Now, if you love God, you'll obey his word. You can't say you love God and disobey his word, because that would be a contradiction. If you love me, says Jesus, then you'll obey my word. And so I had a number of things that were jumping out at me over the week, just praying. We cursed coronavirus. We do it right now in Jesus' name. We take authority over that thing. It ain't coming to Alaska. Amen. I pray you keep it outside the borders of the United States of America. And I pray that you overturn that thing in Jesus' name. Somebody say hallelujah. But at the same time, I can't get away from this phrase out of Revelation chapter 9. Well, let's go ahead and do it. Go ahead. Go there. Revelation 9. Welcome to Kings. Never quite sure what's going to happen. Plus, if you're going to call something a Holy Ghost night, you ought to let him have it. The night, I mean. If you're going to call something Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost night, you ought to, you know, allow him to come. Revelation chapter 9. So I'm not sure all the places we're going, but we're going here for now. Revelation 9 and verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke, locusts came on the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." Okay, so there's a mark that you don't want to take. And there's a mark that you want to be sure you have. You want to be sure you have the seal of God on your forehead. Now, what does that mean? Well, not exactly sure. Verse 5. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. The torment was like the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. Creepy. On their heads were crowns something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like, I mean, this is like zombie apocalypse. Crazy. They had hair like women's hair. Their teeth were like lions. Ow. Verse 9. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions. And there were stings were in their tail, the power to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But Greek, his name was Apollyon. If you take those words, Abaddon and Apollyon, they mean the same thing. They mean destroyer. Recently, when we were at a staff training, we were talking and being taught on hell. It was like a two-hour class on hell. We had someone there who said to me, I don't want to hear about hell. Well, it's good to hear about hell. Because if you don't have a real revelation of what you've been saved from, then you won't have a real revelation of your salvation. So I think you can, you know, the pendulum has swung to, you know, hard, condemning, hell-type messages in the past in Christendom. But lately, in Western culture, it's swung the other way, where you have this hyper-neo-Calvinist, everybody goes to heaven nonsense, and that there's really no hell at all because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, so you're forgiven on the extreme. How many of you know that's not biblical truth? Right, he died for the whole sins of the whole world, but you need to repent of your sin and receive him, and then salvation comes to you. Amen. Can you say a better amen? Amen. So it's kind of intense. We need to have a balance, and you know we endeavor to have that and pray for that. It's good to teach on hell, and I'm going to take Dr. Morocco's notes and put my spin on that thing and bring it to you, and it's just incredible. I mean incredible. Incredible. And one of the things he said during that time is he talked about this text. He says, I think the pit's been open. If you look at the incredible defilement and the debauchery that's sweeping across the nations, you know, somebody said, well, I don't know about that. Well, I don't know about that either. But all scientists say that the world is ripe for a pandemic. And I'm going to stay in the shadow of the Almighty. Anybody else in here? All right, and we'll teach as many people as we can to get the seal in their forehead, if I can say it that way. You want to belong to God, don't have the fear of the enemy or sudden disaster or the arrow that flies by noonday. And so I was going to preach on that. And so now I'm just tapping it for a second. And was going to talk about Goshen. Because there was a place in Egypt called Goshen where Joseph and Israel was protected through all of the plagues of Egypt. And we, because of the blood of Jesus, are in it what I would call a spiritual Goshen, a protective covering. But one of the things that's really chapped my hide over the past week is, how many of you have hide? How many of you ever had it chapped? Is people that say they love God, but they're filled with compromise, and they wonder why they don't walk in the blessings of God. And they're endeavoring to do something for the Lord on their own terms. I came out of the gym. You can see it on Facebook. I came out of the gym, and I lost my mind. I had some leg work. I was so upset over it. I just ranted for a while on Facebook. If you want to see me ranting, go ahead. You can go look there, but we might replicate that right now. You want the blessing of God, you've got to do it God's way. And you know, the rewards are just beyond. I mean, the rewards are amazing, amazing to live at peace and have joy like a fountain. Come on, somebody say hallelujah, to walk with him Oh, how I love him. Does anybody else love the Lord? And I'm thankful. David said, I long for your judgments. You know, that's a wonderful thing. God, go ahead, show me. Am I jacked up anywhere? Lord, do I have anything? And he'll convict you, and then you repent, and you keep walking on with God, and he shows you. Because there's, throughout Scripture, those who forfeited the call of God, those who fumble the baton, it's passed to them, but they slip and they drop it. I remember 2 Kings 5, go there. And I taught on this past week on my Eat the Scroll lunchtime hour, but I'm going to go just a little bit deeper if the Lord allow me to. I was in the Junior Olympics, and I think I was probably 11 years old, and I was a swimmer. I competed in two different races in the Junior Olympics. One was breaststroke, and the other one was freestyle. And I had great chance of winning the whole thing, and it was a big deal, you know, at 11 years old, 10, 11, I forget exactly. And I think it was the breaststroke. So I took off in breaststroke, and I'm a win thing. I'm just going to win it. And I saw I was roasting everybody. I was so excited. And when I came to that wall, I hit with one hand. I'll never forget it. I went, ba-ba, as opposed to two hands. You have to finish with two hands. If you don't finish with two hands, you're out. And so I hit it, ba-ba, like that. And I wasn't concentrating. I was, you know, overwhelmed that I just blew out all these other kids. And the, you know, I look up and the judge says, oh, son, you're disqualified. I cried. My dad tried to comfort me and I cried. I just thought, man, how could I do that? I had one more race. I hit with two hands and won that next race. Thank God. But I was disqualified for the other one. I want you to live in such a way that you're never disqualified. My mama used to say to me, and I think she's online, I love you, Mom. She just got her hip replaced. Amazing what they can do these days. Amen. I imagine she's going to be playing volleyball this summer and just having a great time. My mama used to say to me when I first got saved, son, you listen to me. It's not how fast you run. It's whether you finish strong. And I've seen lots of people just be like a flash in the pan and not finish strong. You don't get into a place where you're beyond your character. It's so anointed that you don't have... Listen, the Haggertys have this saying, and I can't seem to remember it, but if you have an anointing, the power of God in your life beyond with a character, then you're going to kill yourself. God is more important, he wants to pour out his spirit, but he's very concerned about you having a capacity to carry it. And there's been many casualties in this battle. 2 Kings chapter 5, God is going to release mantles to you in your lifetime. Be sure you don't drop it. 2 Kings chapter 5, stand upon your feet if you're able. Go to verse 20. Are you ready? Very familiar passage of Scripture. But Gehazi, are you ready? One, two, ready? New King James Version. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hand what he's brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, what a greedy bugger. Anyway, running after him. It doesn't say that. That was my little, you know, emphasis. He got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Verse 22, he said, all is well. My master sent me, saying, indeed, just now two young men from the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give me a talent of silver and two chains. There's another guy into clothes. Look, he wants two sets of clothes. Where is he going to wear those? With Achan? What an idiot. Okay, two changes of garments. So Naaman said, isn't that crazy? Fashionistas. So Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged him, and he bound two talents of silver and two bags and two changes of garments. And he handed them to the two servants, and they carried them on ahead. And when they came back to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in his house, just like Achan. And he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master, and Elijah said to him, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" He said, "No, I didn't go anywhere." Verse 26, and he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariots to meet you? Is it time to receive money and receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." And went out from his presence leprous as white as snow. Father, I pray, move in power right now in Jesus' name in the moments that remain. May we never be the same. Amen. Yeah, so your actions, you may be seated. Your actions can affect the call of God, obviously. If you don't touch the wall with two hands, you're disqualified. And, you know, you can try to make all the excuses. I mean, I don't recall when I didn't touch that wall, if I tried to argue it, you know. But you can get disqualified. And God doesn't want you to be disqualified. Your actions can undermine God's will for your life or promote you. And many people think, well, aren't you just so lucky? I was watching Transformation Church, and I'm trying to remember the guy's name, Michael Todd. And they just paid off their building within 6 months. And it's a $10 million note. And I was so blessed by that because they use the same bank we do. And the bank said to them, and it's a Christian bank, they said to them, "Nobody's paid off their notes as fast as you guys, but I believe we're going to beat them." Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Not that it's a competition or anything, but it's encouraging. It's an encouraging testimony. And as I watch, I mean, they bought this Spirit Bank, you know, Coliseum, this insane property. It's just amazing. And I was watching this worship night, and Michael Todd, kind of, you know, sort of a chunky, fiery guy. He was so fired up. What a great preacher. And he's just worshiping, and he just crowd surfs, just jumps right off the platform into the crowd of the sea of people. They were have lost their mind. They paid their whole note off. We're going to have a service like that. Well, what's encouraging to me, for all of you sound people, I love what he says. He says, "I was just a sound guy that the worship team got angry at." That's funny. It is like common across Christendom. If you have a sound system and worship, and you're always trying to work all of that out. And I appreciate our worship team, and I appreciate those that are in the sound and media. I really do. Michael Todd was just a, you know, not to say just, but he was serving in the church as a sound guy, and the worship team was mad at him, and he was basically uncovered to be this incredible communicator. And it's really astounding to watch that. I've seen people start off with fresh anointing and power. I remember years ago, there was a young man, and he preached, and I was so jealous. He was probably 10 years younger than I was, you know, about Pastor Kirsten's age. And I heard him preach. He preached to our youth, and I just thought, man, how come I didn't get some gifts like that? You know, I used to watch T.D. Jakes and just be like, his suits were so cool. You know, I needed healing. I said, maybe can I have a guy that wipes the sweat off of my brow too? A rag dude who just help you out. Come on, don't judge. It was years ago. And I was just not secure in who I was. But you know what I found? What I found out, the one young man that was 10 times the preacher that I'll ever be, he got wasted. Now I'm talking like totally destroyed his life. So, you know, I'm thinking of another one right now. Here's another one, same kind of time, same period, on fire. We're coming up together. And, you know, he had this multi-level marketing thing, and he's making tons of money with that. I'm talking like, you know, $5,000 a week. That's a pretty decent wage. Okay, maybe that's not decent for you, but I'm just saying, that's pretty decent, $5,000 a week. And you know, and it's growing, and he could preach, he could prophesy, his wife, and I'm going to become an evangelist, hallelujah. And yeah, he became an evangelist. But he had things on the inside of him that weren't resolved. And you know, nobody knows what's on the inside of you. I remember sitting with Dr. Morocco, and he was saying, you know, sometimes the things that concern me is, for all of us, we don't know what's in our heart. Only God knows what's in your heart. So I love the pattern that we have of prayer and accountability. And, you know, so we've had people that have come like, how come I can't lead worship? Well, you just got here like 2 minutes ago, and we don't know where your hands have been. So why don't you just like serve for a little while? Here's the toilet brush. Amen. You know, and well, the Lord is the one that elevates people. But if you get elevated beyond your own character, you're going to destroy yourself. Listen, I'm going to be real transparent with you. I'm 50. I don't know how old I am. Ask my wife. I'm 50-something. Where we are in our church is this, it's this calm before an explosion. It's, it's very hard to continue the growth curve we're on because of the amount of room that we have in the building. And we are being constrained, but we're believing God that beyond the size of our building, we're going to continue to grow. We have to continue to grow, and we will. We're going to reach the lost. Can you say amen? We raise up leaders. We're going to keep doing that. I wanted to be where we are right now. Well, about 6 months after I got saved. Okay, not you. Okay, maybe you just had like this 20-year plan that after then, you know, then you could enter into great fruitfulness. And when I was in my 30s, I'm thinking, okay, I should have been, I wasn't born in a Christian family, but I'm safe now. We're going to make up for some lost time. And I went after it that way. And it was just kind of like, yeah, that's good, son. Love the zeal. We have to work on some things on the inside of you. Like, you got that man-pleasing thing. I got to heal you of that. And I went through, you've heard me preach it and talk about it. I had issues. And I realized that the Lord has been so kind to me that he's not allowed me to be in a place of growth that I wasn't ready for. Are you ready for it now? I believe I am. I tried to get out of it, and the prophet told me, no, you're the guy. I thought, okay. I ought to pick somebody else. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't say amen. How many of you know? Do you think about yourself? You're like, man, somebody else is more qualified. And it's true. But there's not many that'll stay faithful and loyal. And we have a race to finish. I'm a young man. You're a young man, young woman. Now, whatever, what age you are, Methuselah was out there. He was old, all right? You're not old. Even if you're in your 80s, you're not even close to Methuselah. So here's this text. Come on, let's look at this. You see, because your choices can undermine and abort the plan of God, or the choice that you make can actually cause you to be promoted and elevated and moved into what God has. You have to continue to make right choices. You have to keep your heart right. You have to guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And this mantle, the mantle is this picture of the call of God that the prophet has. And if you understand what's happening, Gehazi is next in line for the mantle. Yeah, but he forfeits it because he had a greed problem. He's going to get this, you know, that he's supposed to get like the double portion. It'd be like the double. All right, let's look at this text. Gehazi's name is mentioned 14 times, 2 Kings 4 and 5. He's known as the servant of the prophet of God. It's the exact way that Elisha, the servant of Elijah, it was the same title for him. Who is this Elisha guy? He's a servant of Elijah. He's the hand washer of Elijah. And so Gehazi is servant. And in the reading of the text, Naaman comes prepared to give a huge offering to the prophet. And the prophet refuses the gift from Naaman, which is really astounding, because at other times he'd receive offerings, but here he's not going to receive it. It's not the Lord. You know, it's not always God. It's not always, just because there's more money doesn't mean it's God. Okay, the next story is going to sting just a bit. But I'm sure it won't nearly be like the scorpions of Revelation 9. So better are wounds from a friend than kisses from an enemy or a sting from a Revelation 9 scorpion. Can you say amen? So I'm telling you this painful story to help you. Tap your neighbor and say, oh boy. Okay. This is a true story. I lived in Manhattan. There's a for a number of years. I was born in on 12th Street on the East Side at St. Vincent's Hospital, and Brother Toby, he born and raised in Brooklyn. Yeah, we're both two New Yorkers. Amen. And thank God that I live in Alaska now. And so, right, all those taxes and that mayor needs some help. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Praise break, go ahead. All right. Yeah. There's this hotel called the Plaza Hotel, which is very posh. I think it's a 5-star hotel. Anybody heard of the Plaza Hotel? It's in movies, it's all over the place. It's Fifth Avenue and 57th, but it's not 50, it's probably 56th. It's right there on Central Park. And it's Central Park South, and it's this beautiful hotel. Inside that hotel was this lady who's a very, very pretty lady, one of the upper employees, married, and as the story goes, she had gotten herself into some significant debt, and every year there would be this sheik that would come, an oil sheik, you know, and every year, the sheik would hit on her and want to take her out. And she was married, so she said no. She's a Christian lady, too. She said, no, I can't. I won't do it. I'm married. And year after year, he would come, and he would offer her money. I'll buy you things. I'll give you jewelry. He'd offer her jewelry. She would say no. No, 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 no. And so this one year, he comes, and they have gotten in some serious financial difficulty, and they're in trouble, her and her husband, her babies. And this guy offers her money. She says no, and then he doubles it. And it ends up being, I think it's $1.5 million, is how the story goes. And she said no, and then she changed her mind. I'll go on a date with you for $1.5 million. And basically, they make a deal. That night, she returns to the hotel. The limo's out front, gets in the limo, drives to another location, and she spends the night with him. On the way back, the sheik's servant is going to square up and pay her. And he says, now, as they're approaching the plaza, says, okay, now, how about 500,000 instead? And she says, what are you talking about? No, it was $1.5 million. And it would have got them out of all of their difficulties. And she says, no, how about 500,000? No, $1.5 million. She's crying now. He says, okay, 750, my final offer. She says, what do you think I am? He says, we know what you are. See, if you could be paid off, she didn't see herself as a prostitute, but that's exactly what she did. And there are times where I've seen people forfeit the call of God, forfeit things over money, forfeit things over accolades or the applaud or promotion. Chris Vallotton tells a story, I think it's in one of his books, about a youth pastor who was working in a church. And the youth pastor was praying about taking another job on the other side of town. And in discussing it with the pastor of the church, he said, well, why do you want to go across town? Well, they're going to pay me a lot more money. He says, oh, so you're really for hire then? You're a prostitute. Is that what you are? Well, no. Come on, just tap your neighbor and say, he's not talking to me. Maybe he's talking to somebody else. Gehazi goes after the money. Now, there's a couple of key things here that are important to see. I want you to look at verse 20. Verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian. Naaman this Syrian. The NIV says, my master has been too easy on Naaman this Aramean by not accepting what he brought. He reveals, through that one verse, reveals that inside the heart of Gehazi is a bitterness, a disgust. We could even possibly call it a prejudice. That he had things on the inside of him that caused him to dismiss the command of his pastor, his mentor, and consider him too easy. The decision that the prophet, that the man of God made, that's not the right. This guy is a dirtbag. You have any idea what does anybody know here how wicked, cruel these people were, this nation that he came from? I mean, really atrocities. Really horrible. There's just no way that you can imagine how they would torture people. And it could be that Gehazi had, you know, some PTSD and some woundedness from his family and something that happened in his home. Maybe, who knows? But he definitely has disgust for the Syrians. And, you know, you can't afford to have disgust for anybody. If you can't love people whose angels see the face of God every day and you can't love and forgive them, then you have a problem. You have to get over it. You got to get healed. I said you got to get healed. And if you don't get healed of stuff, then you're going to end up like a walking time bomb. I don't think Gehazi's thinking, can't wait to forfeit everything. Can't wait to just hit with one hand and be disqualified. That's what I want to do. I want to be disqualified. I want to end up becoming a prostitute. No little boy or little girl grows up and says, oh, yes, I want to be a drug addict. I want to be a drug addict with sores all over my body. Losing my teeth and having crystal methamphetamine rot my brains out and die, breaking my father and mother's heart. That's what I want. Who in their right mind would say that? Not, well, I'm going to tell you, that's not the dream of every little boy or any little boy or any little girl. But does it happen? Oh, it does happen. How does it happen? Because people have wounded places and they don't get healed. You can't afford to have a wounded heart. You can't afford to be bitter. You can't afford to hate people. You can't afford to be prejudiced. You got to get healed. You got to get set free from the yoke of bondage. You have to forgive people. Man, I am preaching like twice as good as your amening, so I'm going to encourage myself right now. Amen, Pastor. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes. Heal me. If I have any disgust in my heart, reveal it so I can repent. Because I don't want to forfeit. I don't want to drop the baton. I don't want to become a meth addict. Oh, I would never do that. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and talk. Go talk to anybody that's gone down that road. Most of them say, I wasn't going to do the hard stuff. And then, you know, you heard of gateway drugs? Gehazi went after the money because he had a broken place. If you can't let brokenness, it's wonderful to let the Lord reveal to you where you're broken so that you can get healed. He lies to Naaman. Verse 22, you know, he doesn't only lie. He brings other people into his hatched plan. He brings two other people along with him. And that's what a defiled person will do. That's what a greedy person will do. They tear down others too. Is everything all right? Everything's all right, Gehazi answered, verse 22. My master sent me. He's lying. No fear of God. I mean, can you imagine trying to hide things from Elijah? He definitely bumped his head. Maybe he was smoking something too. I don't know. But he lied. This is a guy who God was going to give the double-double to. So you see the mantle pass from Elijah to Elisha. Elijah has Gehazi. He's called the servant of Elisha, and he's going to get the mantle. He's going to get the double-double. Instead of, you know, Elijah had 7 miracles. Elisha had double, the double portion. How many miracles? 14. And I think that this guy is supposed to get the 28, but it doesn't happen because he gets disqualified. Crazy. And Elisha comes to him in verse 25, and he gives him an opportunity to repent. There's a service like this one. And he gives an opportunity to repent, but he doesn't repent. He lies again. Wow. Is it time to take money, accept clothes, olive groves? He rebukes him. Gehazi was violating the will of God that had been revealed through the prophet. And he violated God's will. Leprosy comes and rests on him. All right. Very simply, God desires to increase you, multiply you, raise you up to be a voice in the midst of this generation. But if you continue to do things that disqualify you, you will not be a voice to this generation. You will not receive an increase in anointing and power and promotion and blessing. You can derail your future. You can abort your future. I mean, that's crazy. All of us have a fallen human nature that you have to keep underneath your feet. I train every day, well, 5 days a week, sometimes 6, and sometimes I don't get the opportunity to, but I have a discipline of doing that. Why do I do that? It's part of my putting my flesh down. And if I've offended you when I'm at the gym, because I offend people all the time, and I don't mean to, but I'm in the zone, man. I ain't there to talk to anybody. I'm there for crucifixion, baby. I'm serious. I'm there to go push what I can't push. I focus on it, especially legs. I fall out of the machine. I twitch there for a little bit. I've had people come to me and go, because I don't know, because if I'm older or what, I don't know. I've come to people and say, "Are you all right?" I'm like, "Huh? Yeah, I'm all right." Yeah. Okay. Why would you do that? Because my flesh used to run my whole life. So I have a point. I live my life to keep that thing down. You know, I've gone back to proper nutrition after gaining like 700 pounds in the holidays. Of course, it wasn't 700, it was 30-something. Which I can gain like in 3 weeks. And then we did the fast. Thank God, like, saved me. Hallelujah. And I don't know. Maybe it's my personality. Maybe it's just like a, you know, genetic fault or something. I don't know. I just know for me, I can't give in. Like, so I'm eating pretty strict right now. And is Pastor Karen here? So she gets some chocolates for Valentine's Day for her son. Isn't that sweet? But there was a couple extra. And being the sweet, loving wife that she is, she said, "Would you like one?" And I had one, and I ate it, and I went off to the gym. She said, "I've left a couple more for you. Do you want those?" She says, "But I don't want to awaken that thing." And I said, you better just take this. And I went on, "Listen, I know me. So what are you talking about? Listen, I don't know how it is for you. I just know for me, I like chocolate. I like chocolate. Chocolate and French roast together is just like, shaka-ta-ha. Hey! Is anybody else bearing witness right now? All right. Praise God. You too are addicted to sugar and caffeine. So I said, "You better put those away." And then I'm later at the gym thinking, "You could really probably have those." I'm like, "No, you can't. Does anybody else talk to yourself?" And what my wife is talking about is that there's a propensity for me that if I give into that, what's the big deal? You're not that. You say whatever you want. It's about my flesh. And so I had one. That's probably all right. A whole box would not be all right. And I can absolutely do it without even thinking. There'd be like a pile of, there's a little pile right there, and I'm on my second cup of coffee, and I'm like, and then I kind of snap out of it. Lord, forgive me. Oh, none of you guys are laughing because you do the same thing. And then I have to fight that thing. Sugar for me is like a demon. And I then have to fight for 3 days to get that thing out of my system and just be like, woo, clean and free again. Why is that, Pastor? I don't know, but I know I used to cave into my flesh ran my whole life. So I make sure it doesn't lead any decisions anymore. I keep it underneath my thumb. I put it under, and if I start sliding out somewhere, my wife's right there to help me, and so is the Holy Ghost. Don't yield to your fallen human nature. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, "So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, so they're in conflict with one another. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." Listen, you can't give in to your fallen human nature. You can't allow for yourself to get greedy. You can't allow for yourself to yield to lust. Hey, guys, you can't stare at women. I got like just a few amens, because some of the holy ones out there are like, you know, I never do that. You can't do that. You can't give yourself over to undressing people, ladies, women. I mean, women and men. It used to be that just men had the porn problem. I'm not talking to anybody in here that I know of, but if you're being convicted, that would be the Holy Spirit. It used to be just men with the porn problem. Now it's an epidemic with women also. I think maybe that Abaddon. I've talked about getting up for EMP. Pastor Kirsten loves to get up for EMP. For me, it's a sort of death. And some people are like, can't wait to get up and go to early morning prayer. That's EMP. For me, it's just, it's like going to the gym or something, but it's spiritual. The physical exercise, the Apostle Paul says, of some value. Godliness is the value of all things. Some of you aren't disciplining yourself to stay godly, to get in the Word. Like, I don't want to get in the Word. Well, there's probably something wrong with you then. Let me say this. There's someone out here, please don't raise your hand because I would never want to embarrass anybody. Somebody out here has what's called a spirit of slumber. Let me define that for you. When you go to read the Word, even if you had like 5 cups of coffee and a good night's sleep, when you go to read the Word, you fall asleep. That is a demon spirit called a spirit of slumber that tries to get you to shut up and go to sleep so you don't get anything out of God's Word. And if you have that going on, then you need prayer, you need to rebuke that thing, and you need to set yourself up to be free from a spirit of slumber. It's a demon spirit. I firmly believe that. So you need to get in the Word. If you don't want to get in the Word, you're not in the Word, then there's something wrong. All right. Fallen human nature. We can always rationalize our sin, and I think Gehazi rationalized his sin. He did. Man of God is too easy on him. If he knew what I knew, that guy should pay us even more than he brought. Who does he think he is? My God, he should go back and get more money and pay us, considering what they've done to Israel. He rationalized his sin. We can all rationalize our stuff. Don't do it. Come on, someone say don't do it. All of us are going to be tested. All of us will be tested. Your integrity will be tested. You'll be tested every day. There's a test. Every day. Every day there's a test. Every day you have tests. Every day you can get promoted, or every day either you're stepping closer to God or you're taking a step backwards. I'm tested on the craziest things. I've shared some of it, but like, you know, when I use a shopping cart, I just had the thing, you know, I was at Costco, helped my wife, worked my phone and drove, and she went shopping for our prophetic conference and getting, you know, hospitality things for our guests and all that, you know, and it's not exactly nice outside. It was cold and was sort of miserable, and, you know, you push the cart out there, and then, you know, you get to put the cart away, right? You always put your cart away, don't you? Yeah. Don't lie. Liars go to hell. Some people don't put their carts away. Okay, so when I got saved, it was like this thing, like, that's what you do. How many of you know a spirit-filled Christian has a hyperactive conscience? And so I am not allowed, by the Lord, not allowed to go not put my shopping cart away. And then furthermore, when I'm walking past other shopping carts, I'm supposed to get those too. And I don't know if anybody else gets dealt with like that, but I'm like, I'll try to what? That wasn't mine. That one's not mine. And la, 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 la. Okay, I go back. I get the shopping cart. To him who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. I have a hard time. I can't walk past trash on the ground at the church. Why is that? Because I heard a message when I was newly saved, and the guy said this: if you ever see a leader walking past trash in the parking lot or in the church, you want to watch out for that one. And if you ever see a pastor that doesn't pick up trash in his own church and he walks right by it, that is a need for concern. Now, don't get all legalistic on me. If I didn't see it, then I didn't see it. Give me a break. But you have to have, and I'm not talking about being a legalist. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit and keeping your, you know, don't rationalize your stuff. Come on. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you're going to be tested. I've had many tests. I've failed lots of tests. You know what I love about the Lord? Is if you fail, you get to take it again. He loves you so much. He's like, that's all right. Take a lap. Just get around that mountain one more time. We'll see in 40 years. It'll be all right. Come on. Hallelujah. You take another lap around the mountain and then you come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. You get retested. But I do believe that you can forfeit and lose out on opportunities of promotion and elevation. They won't come again. They won't come again. I know your mama told you, oh, he's the God of the second and third chance. Yeah, he is. But that army of God, the Israel, they couldn't believe that God is big enough to take down the giants in the promised land. So they murmured and grumbled, except Joshua and Caleb. The following day, if you read that text, it says they presumed on God. To presume is to act on faith on something that God didn't say. It's presuming that God said it when he didn't say it. Or if he said no, you presume he's going to change his mind and you move forward. Presumption's very dangerous. Don't ever presume on God. What he says, you base your faith on what he says. Common assurance of what you cannot see. What did God say? That's where faith comes from, right? So in this case, God said, go in, you can take it. But then they murmur, they complain, and they said, no. God says, no, you're 40 years until you're dead and your children are raised up. Then they'll go in, except for Caleb and Joshua, because they had a different spirit, right? Okay. Well, the following day, they just get this renewed vim and vigor. And they're like, you know what, Pastor Mo, we were thinking, you know, we're going to go in. He's like, it's too late, bro. He's like, no, really. No, really, we'll go in now. And the Lord's Moses is like, the Lord's not with you. You can't go in now. Hello? You can't go in. Listen, Linda, you can't go in now. The Lord was with you. The Lord is now not with you. You have forfeited your opportunity to go into the promised land. No, we really want to go. He's like, well, you're going to be toast. They go in and they get their butts whooped. You go look at that. It's just the next day. It's not the next year. It's the next day. Some of you are wondering, you know, what's taking so long? When that test comes around, if you've prepared, you know, runners have to prepare to hit the wall. They call it hitting the wall, marathon runners. So you train so when you hit that wall, you can go through it. Listen, this is peacetime right now. And if you can't handle it now, how will you do on the floodplain of the Jordan? How will you do then? How will you do when the real battle is? Come on, God wants to promote and elevate you, but you got to learn to put your flesh down. You've got to understand that you're going to be tested. Don't rationalize your sin. And God will give you a moment to repent, like right now. Would you come? And his non-repentance brought death. His non-repentance It brought death. Come on, raise your hands all across this place. I don't want you to be disqualified. I really don't. I want you to fulfill the plan of God. I want you to grow in the things of the Lord. There's many people that'll be disqualified. I don't want to be one of them. Second Peter 1, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The very fact that Peter writes that in 2 Peter is an indication that you can lose out with God. I don't want to lose out. I'm not going to lose out. Jesus, help me. I don't want you to lose. This prophetic conference is going to be so profound. And we'll teach you how to judge prophecy. Just because someone prophesied over you, you have to weigh that. I talked about that in some of those day sessions this past week. Make a commitment to finish the race. Make a commitment to fulfill the plan that God has for you. Donna, right? The hand of the Lord is on your life, and He's leading you through this season of transition. And just so everybody doesn't think I just got the prophetic word that her name is Donna. She told me her name was Donna. Okay, not that that couldn't happen. That can and does. But this transition you're in is a narrow place. You've been through many challenges and testings. You're going to move through this next season into a place of great promotion. The time of discipleship is clearly upon you. You love God. You have a story about how God has touched you and the amazing things that He's done for you in your life, but half the story is yet to be told. The best is just around the corner, and His hand is coming upon you to elevate you and promote you. So He's the lifter of your head. He's going to bring you through and strengthen you and anoint you above your brethren. That's from Scripture, putting the oil of joy upon you, and a spirit of heaviness is falling off. The blessing of God is upon your life. Can you say amen? Amen. God's got these amazing plans. I want to fulfill mine. How about you? What do you think, Pastor Gil? Going to run the race? Amen. How about you? Would you ask the Lord right now in the closing moments of the service to examine your heart? Do you have anything in your life? You bitter about anything? You mad at anybody? Do you have anger, bitterness? You have rage? If you have a really short fuse, like you just lose your temper instantaneously, that's an indication that you need healing. If you just snap off right away, I mean, the slightest thing, it's like a powder keg, that would be a clear indicator that you need healing. Why would you be preaching this? Because I want you to fulfill the plan of God. I want to do it together. I want to see you fulfill God's plan. I want to run my race. I'm going to take that baton and run with all the strength that works within me. Come on, make that your prayer too. God, reveal to us. Reveal to us, God, I pray, any place that would cause us to be disqualified. Expose and reveal any stronghold, Lord, whether it be greed or lust, Lord. Expose places that are out of accord with your word, your will, your plan. Reveal to us any unforgiveness towards our parents, towards our brothers, towards our sisters, towards leaders, towards pastors, God. Reveal to us places where we need to be healed. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, won't you give your heart to Him tonight? There is a place called hell. It's to be shunned. You don't have to go there. It's not made for you. Heaven is made for you and me. Heaven becomes your home when you die if your sins are forgiven. The only way to have your sins are forgiven is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Have you ever given your life to Christ? He said, I did when I was in camp once. Good. How are you doing now? If you're not on fire for God like you were last week,
or the week before last year, if you drifted in your walk with the Lord, he didn't move. You're the one that moved. I don't think Gehazi just woke up and all of a sudden it was on him. I think this was a pattern in his life that he had to work out. And he just didn't confess it. He didn't have somebody he was accountable to. He didn't tell the truth to his mentor. And right at the wrong time, exploded. He forfeited everything. Achan, same thing. There are no more Achans. His whole family was wiped out. Now Gehazi, they say, is used later on as one of the four lepers. Pretty amazing that God would use him then. It's not that God can't use you, but if you've dropped the baton, the good news is if you have, pick it up tonight and repent. Get back on the horse. Get back in the race. Don't be disqualified. If you're hearing me tonight, you've not been turned over to a reprobate mind. You're not a child of Cain. You're not a son of the devil. If you can hear me tonight, if you can hear the words that I'm saying to you right now, you wouldn't be able to even hear me if that was the case. And there is a reprobate. There are those can be turned over. You want to pull up, hold up. You want to get healed. You want to get healed of your disgust for people and their shortcomings or the wounds of your father or your mother. You want to get healed of the wounds of people. People will hurt you. If you haven't been wounded or hurt here at Kings, it's soon coming. Not on purpose. It's just, you know, somebody said, there's hypocrites there. Yeah, where else should a hypocrite go so they can get delivered? You should go to church so they can get set free. Amen. Somebody say, I'm looking for the perfect church. Well, make sure you don't go if you find it. Because you're going to jack it up. You will mess it up if you find the perfect church. But we're growing. We're all growing. We need to live in humility and grace before each other. And you know, let me say this. If I've ever hurt you, I didn't do it on purpose. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If I was insensitive and I didn't acknowledge you, I didn't mean to do that. If I wasn't kind to you, sometimes I'm in my own world. I didn't mean to do that. Please forgive me. And in the words of my friend Toby, charge it to my head, not my heart. Live a life of repentance and brokenness before God. Let him examine you daily in a rejoicing kind of way, because what God reveals, God heals. So if he shows you this ugly thing in there, just repent. You say, what if it's not my fault? Okay, well then just forgive someone. Forgive whoever offended you and repent. And just accredit it to Jesus' crucifixion took that sin. How about that? Would that be okay? Jesus was crucified for that horrible thing that happened to you when you were a little boy by your uncle. A horrible thing that happened to you. I know it was horrible. But for this reason, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And set those who fear of death all their lives to set them at liberty, to bring glorious freedom and joy and hope and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. His perfect love casts out all fear. He's chosen you. He's appointed you. He's selected you to bear forth fruit and fruit that remains. It says in the book of Revelation, let no man steal your crown. Let no man steal your crown. That's quite a text. That means that things can happen in life where I allow for somebody to steal my reward from the Lord because I'd be disqualified. Think about that. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to forgive 70 times 7. Every day, by the help of God Almighty, I'm going to live before him. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Again, if you've never given your life to Jesus, won't you do it today? Won't you do it tonight? If you drifted from the Lord, won't you come back home? You say, that's me, Pastor. If that's you, you want to get right with Jesus, just pray this prayer. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place. Forgive me of all of my sin and come into my heart, come into my life. And just as Jesus rose again from the grave, raise my life up now. Use me for the purpose for which I was created. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to be discipled, to learn to live the Spirit-filled life, to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Use me. Reveal anything on the inside of me that could potentially abort my call or derail me. And if the Lord shows you something right now, you just repent. Pride, greed, lust, anger. Repent. Ask Him to forgive you. We commit to be people of the Spirit, living in accordance with your word and step with the Spirit of God. People who yield not to the works of the flesh, make no provision for the flesh thereof. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ every single day to walk in the newness of mind as one man contending for the faith. To as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is come. So thank you. Release your healing. Release your blessing. Release your power. I will finish my race. Come on, say that. I will finish. As the Apostle Paul said, I've run my race. May we all be able to say that, to stand before you on that great day. In Jesus' name. Would you stand up on your feet all across this place? Did you get something from the Lord? Come on. Let's not be disqualified. Don't drop the mantle. Don't drop the baton. Come on, give it up for Jesus. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hey, hey, hey. We love you, God. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Thank Him. Come on, He's the God of the second, third, and fourth chance. God, thank you. Hey, we love you, Lord, and we give you praise. Now bless your people, God. Cause your face to shine upon us. Lift up your countenance towards us. Be gracious to us. Keep us. Give us peace. And don't forget, God's on the throne. The devil's been defeated. We love you.
Thank you for joining today's podcast. If God is impacting your life through this ministry, you can partner with us and give at kcalaska.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and enjoy more messages like this one.